I don't know about you, but I feel like I need to breathe deep. I'm a pastor. I love people. In the last hour, as Christy has spoken, I have gone from anger to rage to encourage to want to fight wars to a million emotions along the way, both as a father, as a pastor, and realizing that this is a big thing. It's a big thing, and there's a big conversation. This is not, I hope, you, and I know that you're not here out of interest, that there's desires. There's some parents that are navigating and battling, even as I know in our community there are single moms navigating their teenage boys and going, how do we get help, and what does this look like, and how do we navigate, and what are the answers? And I just, even just before, because I don't want to miss out on the opportunities, Christy put up all those resources. Her website's amazing. Her books are on sale, and they'll be on sale tonight and on Sunday. And I think that's really helpful resources. Just because I will say to you, there's not a lot of helpful resources out there. Not enough. And we will try equip and continue going on the journey of equipping the church. I also want to say that actually the best thing that I think you can give your children is a healthy you sexually, not just in terms of, but actually as parents and as a married couple, the best thing you can give your kids is a healthy sexual life in your own marriage. And we can have opinions and thoughts about our kids, but what about your phone? What if the apps we're buying for our kids, we were prepared to put on our own phone? I've got app that I pay for Bark. Bark highlights a whole bunch of things. I get a bunch of alerts. And to be honest, it's alerted us to things that we're able to deal with in that. But what if I was able to put my details on those phones? And just to provoke that we have done a number of sexuality series in the life of the church. Last year, we did a series called Unashamed. And we truly do believe that sexuality is this incredible gift. Sex is this incredible gift to not just the church, but to creation. And God gave this incredible gift. But without his perspective on that, you're going to struggle to marry what the world's shouting and just to get to the designer, to get to his word. And if you have no context of where to start, maybe start there for yourself to get freedom and life there so that we can then fight for the next generation. Just to, not to give you a punt to go listen to preaching, but I think it will be helpful. Far too few Christians believe God even has an idea about sexuality. Someone came to me the other day and said, you know, when you did that series, I'm like, what series? No, that series. I'm like, what series? They said, series. Like, the sex series? And the challenge is that I have met with pastors and said, we want to do a sex issue, we're doing it. I say to them, no, because we're not confident to speak about it. Sex is good. Sex is wonderful. But we live in a world, thank you, Will. That's my mate, so Will Phillips. but it is. But the challenge is, even in the room here tonight, some of you are going, gee, I don't know if I can speak to my kids because of my journey. Just what happened yesterday or last night or today. And so maybe that's where we've just got to start is I honestly believe that'll be the starting point for your family. If you want to fight for freedom for your family, you got to start there. And we can talk about the kids and how we, but actually it starts there. It starts with courage and conviction to lead and love. And maybe that's a place to start because I know you've got strong opinions about phones and that, but one of the things that I see parents wrestling is, am I a parent or am I a friend? And if I'm being brutally honest, as a pastor, my concern is too many parents think that they are first their kid's friend and make decisions from there rather than as a parent. And the Bible says a lot about parenting. God is a father. He says things like, actually, a father disciplines those he loves. It's the Bible. That's not just Christian strength of, no, it's the Bible. It's the father. And so maybe just a quick perspective on what does it mean to be a friend to your child? And I think often that's because we need friendship. And so people run to their children and become their confidant. I think it's a very dangerous place to lead your kid from. But maybe if your perspective, because I think you've probably seen that.
Yeah, it's really tough. And maybe also, you know, single parents, it can be a lonely and hard journey. But our friend Rob Hudson once said to me, he said this thing is, I give my children a lot of freedom, but at the edge of that freedom is an electric fence. And I love, because we can also go the other side as South African parents, where we're very harsh with our children, where we like, because I said so, and, you know, it's all about obedience and, you know, listening. And so I try, and I think as parents, it's got to be about strong boundaries. Our children have to know that they're safe, yeah, that we will put down boundaries, that we will be those safe places, and that we are, we don't, and, you know, the way I said it to my children is, I've got plenty of friends. I don't need you to like me. And sometimes I don't like you very much. No, I don't say that to them. But sometimes you don't, right? Especially when, you know, you're like, I love you, but right now you're not very nice. But I don't say that. But we need to not get our emotional needs met through our children. We can't, because that's dangerous. You know, we need to be okay with our friends, our kids not liking us. But I do believe, and this is what I do with my children, is even in our toughest moments, is I fight for that connection. And I make sure, even after I know psychologically and from experience, that lectures do not work.
Yeah.
They don't work. The moment you start into lecture mode to your child, their brain just closes and they are in their happy place until you're finished. So it is about connection and it is about relationship, but it's about being strong in leading them and letting them know the expectations around who they are and what is expected. But then also, like I said, at the end of those conversations, that bridge is still there. So it's not about just shouting down and storming off. We've got to, you know, it's about responding, not reacting. But I think it is, we've got to be very careful about that, and first and foremost, lead them, guide them, and make sure that we're okay if they're unhappy,
yeah,
and that unhappy, disappointed kids will be okay.
Yeah.
And actually, they'll be better off for it sometimes, to just navigate. You know, I have children who had no phones. My boys didn't have Fortnites in primary school. They just kind of... But I think sometimes when that connection's there and they know that it's from a place of love, but you're not going to budge, they can navigate it okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, and they'll be fine. We came home the other night. The weather was terrible. We had German family with us, and I just went and turned all the devices off, kicked them outside into the rain, and they were all very cross with me until 3 minutes later when they were having the time of their life until one of them stepped in the dog poop. And that was the end of the game. And when I grew up, you know, the saucy thing was the Sports Illustrated. It was that one month a year where they had the swimsuit edition. What month was it, Gabe?
November.
when Gabe had to get to the post box before his mom got there. That was the one month. All the brothers had to get there before mom got to the post box. And but I realized that that was the world I grew up in. And now it's a different world. So I got a question from a headmistress of an amazing school in Cape Town who said, is it ever safe to leave your child with a device? Your honest opinion. Is it?
How old is the child?
I don't know. That was the question. Like just, I think from a headmistress point of view, having seen so much, and having chatted to a counselor at our own school, our kids are involved in that just the chaos. Almost every scenario that is going down in the school is related to a cell phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so I mean, that's a very, very big question. But I was actually talking to someone today who, they have an online school, and just talking about how the 14-year-olds will switch their devices, their screens off and all of that. And I don't believe that until at least the age of 16, our children should be using devices in their bedrooms on their own. Let that brain catch up. Let that brain grow. Let the hormones settle. Let some kind of sanity start to prevail in the, it's just a teenage brain, and it's not like there's something wrong with them. It's,
yeah,
it's just who and where they are. So I think devices used in the lounge with other family members around is a much safer thing for it. And I get a little bit sad when parents say to me, but I trust my child.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
I trust my child. So my child is homeschooling. They're 14. I'll go to work. I trust them at home. I just don't, I don't think that's fair. I think that's a very big weight of responsibility to put on a young child. And then when they don't make the right choices, which a 14-year-old a lot of the time won't do, then they feel the shame of having disappointed a parent who has these high expectations on them and unrealistic expectations. And I like to equate it to the fact that you wouldn't leave a 2-year-old next to a swimming pool. It's not about not trusting the toddler. It's about knowing that developmentally the toddler is not old enough to know that jumping into that pool is not going to be safe for them.
Yeah.
Someone once said it like this, is that teenagers can't see round corners yet. And we are, as parents, their little mirrors. And so we can't expect them to go, oh, if I click on here when I'm 25 and I want to have sex with my wife, da, 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 they're not really there yet. And so as parents, we need to safeguard them and be the kind of scaffolding around them until they're strong enough. So I don't think we should leave, I definitely don't think primary school age children, even 14, 15-year-old, most of the things that I see go wrong happen between the ages of 12 and 15. It's like the height of the crazy part of puberty.
And that frontal cortex development for reasoning only happens by 16.
26.
Well, they're solidified, yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry. To our youth leaders in the room, sorry, guys.
That's why the youth leaders are still such fun.
Yeah, look at them.
it catches up by 16. So when you get to 16, that's why you'll talk to older teens and they'll look back and say, I can't believe my parents let me do that gave me that phone when I was 12. Because now their brains are developing and they're seeing back to what their brains were like when they were younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've kind of got over the hype. Do you know what I mean? They're like, oh, Snapchat, I don't really care about that. But when you're 12 or 11, TikTok is like, it can be everything. And it's that when you're in that age, that kind of grade 6 and 7, where a lot of things go pear-shaped, is there's this desperate need to be affirmed and to belong, and you'll do dumb stuff to get it. And now you've got a phone to do it. You know?
It is a challenge. I was chatting to a pediatric psychiatrist who mentioned about kids that engage pornography at a pre-sexualized age. So pre your teens, where it's exciting and the juices flow. Well, there's a age before that where they're not ready for it. And she described it this way. She said it is blunt force trauma to the brain. It is no different to a baseball bat to the brain. It's the same damage, the same effect. So obviously that's the fear. It's a fear in our parents. No one wants that for their kids here. So we all now to navigate. And maybe their parents in the room who've gone down a road of, well, all the other parents have done it. Everyone else. I mean, my kid says that to me every day. Everybody else has got it. And I've got to go, I don't care. How would you encourage, and what were the steps you take just to take that ground back? I realize you spoke about connection, you've spoken about love, affirmation, but what are some of the steps you would suggest to take that ground back?
So you say you already got all the...
So they've already allowed, the cell phones are in the 12-year-old's hands, and it's in the name of protection. And we realize our kids have a lot of space, some are catching buses to school, and that is understandable. But even these smart things can be dumbed down. And then you talk about apps. We bought Bark. To be honest, it's expensive. But it's a hell of a lot cheaper than years of counseling. It's not what it costs, it's what it's worth. And for us, it actually showed me a scenario that played out at school. It highlighted a fight that happened at school that my boy never told me he was a part of. But Bark told me. And he knows Bark's going to tell me. And he can't stop it. And it allowed a conversation to happen that was necessary. And I'm grateful for that. So, but maybe people are saying, we're on the other side, my kids will not respond well. Maybe just an encouragement, whether it's just an encouragement or practical tools.
Yeah. That is one of the hardest questions and where a lot of parents find themselves. And what I would do is I would actually have conversations with my kids about some of what you've learned. Because what I find works best with teenagers is getting them on board as much as possible. Not... kind of calling them up into something where we don't talk down to them, we don't belittle them, we encourage them and talk about some of the steps that you can take. Teenagers are smart. If they're already addicted to stuff, they're going to find ways around your apps. They're going to But talking to them about the why, I think, helps a lot. I would definitely put some software on. And what we do in our home is we put it on everyone's devices. So we kind of say, okay, our family is doing this to keep us all safe. So dad's getting it, mom's getting it, everyone's getting it. This is what it does. I sat with my kids, I set it up. You can even, I mean, if you've got older teens, is even have consultations. Sit with your phones on the table, look at dad's phone, mom's phone, everyone's phone, and have conversations. Because some of the stuff we're watching is not good for us. In terms of political stuff even, or, you know, that woman who's always bad-mouthing people or gossiping or whatever, you know? And so have some conversations about what changes we can make. I do think if you're here tonight and you're like, something's really, really serious is happening with my child, I think getting help.
Yeah.
And there are times where you would take a phone away completely, but those are very extreme situations of addiction. But putting some of those things in place, I do think there are times where you can backtrack on an app, where you can take some apps off, that you go research them and you say, look, you can keep two. You know, even scaling back on the number of apps your child has, because that's part of the anxiety, that's part of the exposure, is just so much on their phone, and there's so much for you then to keep track of. That's why we did it slowly, because it was good for them and it was good for us. You can just keep track of one or two, so limiting the apps, and then also just making rules. Okay, one thing we're going to do is you're not going to have your phone in your bedroom. You're gonna sit in the lounge. You can have it. I would definitely, if you don't have it already, put time limits in place for everyone. And when we do it with the parents doing it as well, then the teenager will buy in a lot more. Because remember, it's a problem for those of you who were here with us yesterday. It's a problem for us as well, digital addiction. So we put screen time on all of our phones. Okay, you're allowed 15 minutes on Instagram, Mom, or half an hour on Pinterest. We put it all in place. No phones at the dinner table, no phones in the bedroom. Put some stuff in place for the whole family that makes the place safer. Those are just some of the things. And then, you know, just seeking help if you need it as well, because some of these things are serious and we can't do it on our own.
Obviously, we're talking about hectic things like pornography and these visuals that kids see. But it's more than that. A friend of mine's daughter left her phone in his car one afternoon by mistake for 2 hours. She received 250 messages.
Yeah.
250. I'm not saying all of them were pornography. Actually, most of them were not that at all. But there is such a thing as response anxiety. Actually, most of you have got it. It's that blue tick on WhatsApp. People have been asking me, because I mentioned in the pre-treatment, you can actually get rid of it. I did it 6 years ago. No one knows whether I've read your message, sorry. But I also don't know if you've read mine. And we all live a little freer of the anxiety of that. Now imagine, though, you're getting 250 messages. That's a peer group that you're looking to get affirmation in. That's not always friendly. That's not always kind. And the anxiety potential that has. And could cause. So it's not just the radical, it is the control of the consumption, because it is an angry animal that will pull people deeper in. And maybe that's just an encouragement in understanding this. It's not just looking out for the worst case thing, it's the appetite and that will grow. Remember, lust is an appetite. It starts small. Christy spoke about it earlier. It starts with the bikini images, it goes more. And in boys, particularly, it's an appetite that will grow with hormone development, all that kind of stuff. It's tricky, ground. So I do think it is, and we need to be speaking. We need to be loving. I also want to just take a moment just to highlight access to help beyond tonight, because we can host a moment, move on, but maybe you're really desperate. And you're in the room because you're really desperate, but you don't know how to tell anyone because you're worried you'll be judged as bad parents. You're worried that everyone at church has got it good together. We all here, because we don't have it perfect. So just to let you know that, just in case you're wondering. But we have a system called Care in the Life of Our Church that is there to help you. And it also takes the awkward conversation of, I don't know the person. It is available, and the easiest way, there are other ways, but the easiest way to access is on the website. There's a button called Care. You click on it and you give simple information that helps us make sure that we can connect you with the right people. and get the right people. Because most people think the right people is the guy with the mic. No, we have far better counselors in some areas of marriage than myself and those in the life of our church. And we make sure that, is it there? And these are just some of the areas, general care, freedom ministry. So just to mention that there's people who go journeys of, some people have been abused at a young age and they need help to get through that. And they've been dealing with it for 30 years. I have met 60-year-old men who confessed to me the abuse that happened 40 years before and they never told anyone. And the church is meant to be a place where we can go on those journeys and access the healing and wholeness that God promises. Financial care, which where people are in businesses are in trouble. Marriage care. Just to highlight also some of the team that welcomed you. This normally on a Monday night is a space for Life Changes Recovery. Those, there we go, the team's there. It's an incredible space where we're seeing incredible life come to those who are caught up in addiction. Yes, addiction to drugs. Yes, alcohol, but also sexual addiction, pornography addiction, many other different spaces. And if you need help or you know someone who needs help, that is a safe space where they won't just be loved, but they'll go on a journey of freedom. A journey, an intentional journey towards freedom that is needed and support that's needed in that journey. So just to highlight those, should you need help, those are ways through the care ministry, but more specifically the recovery ministry on a Monday night. Come and chat to Jock and Louise or some of the people you'll see with an Exodus badge, a recovery badge, they can help you. Yeah, and the people who are affected. So part of that group is for those whose families are affected. If you're a family member, if you're a child, if you're a parent, there are groups to go that journey with you and make sure that we can do that well. And just to let you know, it is first and foremost to Christ and to his healing that he brings, but within a community that can support and bring healing and wholeness, because this is affecting every age group, every demographic financially. This is not a this demographic or this demographic issue. It's an every demographic issue. And we need help, and we need to make sure we go on those journeys. And Christy, there are lots of questions, and we realize there's just great need in this area. Maybe just your last encouragement to those in the room who felt as you were speaking for the first 40 minutes, like all the air was sucked out of them. And maybe this battle is too big for them. Because I feel like I've had a lot of input. I feel like a lot, but there have been moments in our own journey where I feel like I don't have any answers here. Like any. And I know for many here, maybe that's the fear. I look at some of you who've got young kids. Your kids are still in prams. I saw you pushing them in and you're going, oh, this just got me really scared. That's not what we want, how we want you to leave. So if maybe you could just encourage parents and those who are looking at parenting, because I think part of it is, I'm meeting young people, millennials, who are getting married, but they don't want kids because they're scared to bring kids up in this world. It's not the biblical mandate. Fear is never a reason to not follow God's word and to step into more that he has. But a final encouragement.
Yeah, this is such a big topic. And as I said, I'm going to lie in bed tonight and pray for all of you that I didn't hurt you in any way. But I often think about the time that we live in with the access that our children have and kind of the effect that it's having, the way that we look back at smoking in the 70s. Do you remember how people used to smoke on planes and smoke in their cars with their babies? And we're going to look back at this, at the way children had phones, had social media, were exposed to pornography like we looked back then. But we are part of the generation who are going, it stops now. We now realizing, no, handing a child a phone without guidance, assistance, love, whatever, a phone, a PlayStation, it's not good for them. And so the fact that you're here tonight, it means that you're on that journey with your child. Yeah. And I think that we should be so encouraged by that. And for me, as we go from here, if you have one conversation with your child, that's a starting point. If you're driving in the car and you ask one question about something that came out tonight, that's a starting point. And so for me, what I would take from here is just start the conversations in your home.
Yeah.
That's why it's called the chat. Because it's, for me, is first and foremost is to facilitate healthy dialogue with our children. That we would create these little these homes where stuff gets spoken about, where like pain gets brought out, and these scary things are going to happen. We're going to feel like we've done it wrong. When my kids have been exposed to things over the years, I've felt that parent guilt. of I should have protected them. But that doesn't serve them. It doesn't serve me. Yeah. What serves them and serves me is, okay, how can I journey this with you, my boy? How can I help you move forward from here? And something else might happen. But I think if we stay on the journey, we stay intentional, we stay connected, we have those conversations, our children are so privileged and so advantaged through yeah. that, through the safety that we bring. So my encouragement is just keep going, keep talking, keep getting in their faces, keep loving them, keep making sure they know they're unconditionally loved. And then when things go pear-shaped, we just regroup, we start again, and we keep moving forward.